Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Well, this morning I continue in the book of Matthew, reconnecting with God, reconnecting with the Holy Spirit. And we are at a point where we are at Matthew chapter 7, taking another step in this passage. And it's intriguing because this book of Matthew is proving to be so very instrumental in our growth and our development. And each passage has a learning point. Each passage is designed for a great purpose, to help us open our eyes to who our God is and show us how much He desires to help us. That's why even these songs are so pivotal, because the desire, the context, the end result of these messages is that we would open our eyes to who our God really is, and to establish how much He desires to help us. And so God is always showing us through His Word new revelation into His nature. Can I say that again? God is always showing us through His Word new revelation about His nature, into His nature. Now, I've read this the Bible through almost every year since I was 15 years old. And every time I read it through, I discover new things. And even as a preacher now, 30 years as a minister, I'm preaching it passages after passages, and I'm recognizing that it's too all-encompassing. There's so much in it that no matter how many times you read the Bible, something fresh happens. Something fresh happens. So here's the deal today. In Matthew chapter 7, God is bringing us back to a point about prayer, the key to good praying. And folks, why this is important is that there's so many times in Matthew, and I never noticed this before, that's why I'm telling you about how many times I've read the Bible through. I did not notice how many times in Matthew alone, Jesus is declaring to us that we should pray. Jesus, the Son of God, walking on earth in flesh, was declaring to us we should pray. So here in Matthew 5, but I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. That was Jesus' words. Pray for those who persecute you. Anybody going through some persecution? Jesus said. Matthew 6, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue on the street corner. But I tell you, they have received their reward. So He not only tells us, pray for our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, but He's saying, when you pray, don't pray like hypocrites. That's such a good word for us to remember, because oftentimes we're trying to ascribe to a certain type of prayer, and He's like, just don't pray like a hypocrite. What is He saying? Just pray from your heart. That's all. That's all. This is Jesus telling us, just pray from your heart. Matthew 6, verse 6, when you pray, He didn't say if you pray, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So here again, Jesus is saying, when you pray, if you pray in private and you pray, remember that God is seeing and God is hearing, even when no one else is seeing and no one else is hearing. And then in Matthew 6, 7, He goes back on again, when you pray, Not if you pray, but when you pray, do not babble on like pagans, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. There are times people are like, I don't know how to pray. As long as your tongue can speak, you can pray. And even those who are not able to speak can pray. And this is something that we really need to realize, that even those who have sensory skills that are diminished, they have a heightened sensory skill in other areas. So Jesus is saying, first of all, just don't worry about those that are carrying on like this. That's not what matters. What matters is that you're praying from your heart. And there he tells us in Matthew 6:9, which is what we did on Labor Day weekend, this then is how you should pray. And he takes us through the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, and we've already gone through that series. So is prayer important to us? It's a question. Is prayer important to us? Well, if prayer is so important to us, why do we pray so infrequently? Why are we so reluctant to follow this command, which is for our benefit? In fact, sometimes the meeting that is less attended is prayer. Now, if we have a food feast, there's no problem. We'll even pay for it. If we have a free prayer time, no, I can't be there, too busy. If we have a corn feast, we can be there. We go for the food, we shy away from prayer. I thank God for this church and for those online. I thank God that we have been a strong church of prayer. This is a house of prayer. Not only do we pray in-house, we pray online. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, we're either here every second Tuesday or we're online every Tuesday, but it's been consistent for the years. We're a strong church of prayer, and we shall never stop because this is the command of the Lord. And don't say, I cannot pray. Say, I will learn to pray. In fact, the model prayer does not say, most people say, it says, Lord, teach us how to pray. There is no how in there. It's teach us to pray. He just wants us to get to action. So here we are today at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. And the text is on asking, seeking, and knocking. So here it is. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts to those who ask him? Powerful passage. And three big questions emerge from this passage. Because this passage is about persevering in prayer. So what is persevering prayer? Why should we persevere in prayer? And how do we actually persevere? So we'll start with what is persevering prayer. This first question, what is persevering prayer, is to remind us of what it means. Persevere means don't give up. Not give up. Never give up. Don't stop, don't relent, don't fade, don't falter, don't fear. So persevere is I'm not relenting, I'm not giving up, I'm not stopping, I'm not gonna fade. How many know, especially in the month of January when we start off with a week of prayer, we start strong, but then people fade. Persevering prayer says, I will not fade. I am going to keep on going because prayer is just communication with God, my communing with a holy God, awesome God, loving God. And so Jesus even tells us his story in another chapter, Luke 18. He tells us the story of a widow who exercised her liberty and persisted for the need in her life. Here's the story in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 6. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a certain judge in a certain city. He said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. She's wearing me out." And see, God is not afraid of us tiring him out or wearing him out, because our God neither slumbers nor sleeps and cannot be tired, because he's sovereign, eternal, holy, just, right, mighty. He cannot be tired. So we should not get tired of asking our God, who is not tired of hearing us. God delights in us, his children, coming to him and demonstrating that we acknowledge his sovereignty. He proves his power by our requests. He proves his holiness by his answers to us. And our faith is demonstrated by how we pray and how much we will pray and how we will keep on praying. A lot of times people give up praying because they want an instant answer. And I'm always saying this over and over. God is not Jack in the Box. He's not Santa Claus. He's not coming down a chimney. He's residing in the heavens of heavens awaiting us. And so our prayer is just releasing the hand of heaven. And sometimes our faith needs to continue going until the answer comes, just like that widow. So to persevere is to ask. Ask until you receive. Seek until you find. Knock until the answer is opened or released unto you. So true prayer, folks, is not a mental assent that we toss around in our minds, nor is it a glib comment or murmuring or just grumbling about our complaints as if we're speaking to humans and we don't care, we just want to let it out. That is not true prayer. True prayer is making a conscious effort and a deliberate act of honoring God with our hearts while engaging our minds into what we are asking for. And then believing in our hearts that God is able, and then trusting that our holy God will in turn answer our conversation with him with a divine response. That is true prayer. So God's response, folks, is not according to our will, it's according to his. That's the other problem of prayer, is we want God to answer according to our will. How many folks here would say, if God had answered some of your prayers according to your will, you would be in trouble? Come on, let me see your hands. Anybody been there? If he answered according to all of what we want, because he says, "My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." There are things we want that God is saying, "It seems good, looks good, and it wears good on somebody else, but it could kill you. It could destroy you." We have no idea what God protects us from, even in the very thing that we absolutely want so much. So folks, persevering prayers shows our complete dependence on God. That is the word we need to understand. It is a complete dependence on God. It shows that we're not believing in happenstance or coincidence that this happened, that this showed up, but instead we're believing that is our sovereign God who has heard and has answered in the time that he has deemed best. Persevering prayer is a faith that acknowledges God's nature. Folks, we've got to acknowledge the nature of the God we serve. That's what will change the world. When they see that we believe in the God that we're talking about, we pray to the God that we believe in, and that we know our God is supreme and sovereign, and he can make all things work together for the good, even when we don't understand it. Can I hear an amen this morning? Wesley Duell says in this book on prayer, "To persevere in prayer is to be successful in the face of difficulties, because our mind is dominated by the desire to triumph and to obtain such triumph through God. Persisting in prayers takes the initiative to continue asking, seeking, knocking in the offensive until the triumph has come. So prayer communicates our concerns to God about every facet of our lives, from the smallest to the greatest, whether that need is our body, our mind, our soul, or our spirit, or even material or spiritual nature needs. Prayer communicates to the Father what we are asking, what we're requesting, what we're beseeching, and our God who is in heaven, who is hallowed in name, he hears and he answers according to his purposed will over our lives. Now, there are many questions that people will hurl right back and say, well, why is so-and-so sick, or why is so-and-so dying? I don't know the will of God, and neither do you. What we do is we live in the will of God, but we trust God that he knows the perfect will for our lives and the times and seasons of our lives. We don't have all the answers because we are not God, but we learn to trust God. So why should we persevere in prayer? Because prayer, folks, here's the thing. Prayer has a condition. It's conditional. It is an interactive mode where we speak to God, making our requests known to our Father, and the Father who does not sleep or take a break, he hears us, and at the appointed time he answers, and because he knows best, he understands that what we're looking for and what we need, he will bring it into the alignment in time. But faith says, I'm gonna keep on asking and see how God answers. And when I don't see an answer, I have got to seek a little more. And when I don't see the answer, I'm gonna go knocking. I'll break these down in a moment. Asking, we understand. We do that all the time. We ask. And so that's a natural. But seeking demonstrates that the idea we acknowledge, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Then we understand that without divine intervention, this matter will not be solved. Without help, this matter will not be solved. Asking, we say, okay, I'd like this. But sometimes we go and we fix it ourselves. Hello? Seeking in prayer shows that I no longer am relying on my own human efforts. I need help from someone who has more authority and more power than I do. See, there are times in our lives we're doing something. Have you ever been doing something and you've got to the end of your rope and you need to get help? If I was to use an example, men, have you ever tried to fix the car? And you get to a point where you realize, okay, I thought I knew what to do with this. What do? At that point, you go seeking for help. It's the same. Ladies, have you ever had to try and fix a bad hairdo? Until it's getting worse? And what do? You go to the professional, because the professional's gonna fix it properly for you. So this is what seeking. We seek. When we seek, we're making mental note that I have reached the max of what I can do, and I need someone who has more knowledge and more power and more ability to do this for me. Or in our natural self, I need someone with more experience. Well, with God, seeking is where we're saying, God, I'm showing that I value who my God is, and I know I'm at the end of my rope, and I now need you, God, to help me, because I can't go any further without help. Is that clear? Hallelujah. Online, is that clear? Let us know in the chat line. Knocking. Now, knocking demonstrates a relentless attitude of, I will not stop on this until I see the problem solved. Because I believe, God, you can, and I believe you will. See, if I show up, if you said, come on over to your house, if you invite me over to your house, and you say, when you come, just knock on the door. And I get there, I see your car, I see the lights on, I can hear music playing, and I knock, and you don't answer. Do I leave? Why not? Why don't I leave? You're there. He's always there. So what does he say? When you come to me and I don't answer, keep knocking, because God is still there. When you knock at the door of someone's house and you realize they're not answering, you're like, okay, I know they're home. If I walk away, I'm the one that's losing. I'm the one that has to return in another time. I'm the one that's wasting my time. So I'm just going to knock till they hear me. My God's not deaf, but he wants us to have enough faith to stay at the door and knock until the answer comes, because he is God. God is always at home, friends. God is always at home. God is always at home. God is always at home. Tell yourself today, God is always at home. That's why he desires constant conversation and fellowship with each one of us. And he encourages us in Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. What? What do we live under? We live under what? Anxiety. I didn't get this right away, and I did ask God already, and it didn't come, and so now I'm going to go fix it myself. That's the problem that Abraham and Sarah had, right? Because she wanted to fix it and created a whole world that we still can't fix today. Folks, Ishmael was an anxiety answer because God gave her a promise. It wasn't coming, and she... rather than keep on knocking, what did she do? She fixed it. Over 2,000 years later, not a government in this world can fix Sarah's mistake. Because when we mess up, folks, because we didn't trust God, we mess up real good. Anybody ever messed up real good? Be honest with me today. Real good? We persevere to show that we trust God, and we're moving from our natural instinct. Our natural instinct is to doubt, but we must move from our natural instinct to an absolute resolve of faith. How do you resolve faith? You say, God, I can't see it, but I believe it. That is why it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. That's why Matthew says we pray to an unseen God, and an unseen God who sees you will answer in due season. Friends, even when I can't see it, I have got to believe it. Abraham, later on, after he learned his lesson, the Bible says in Romans 4, verse 16 to 18, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. See, Abraham had not given up in faith, but Sarah had given up. And someone else can mess up your journey if you don't allow God to be the director of your life and the one who speaks life, hope, and direction into our spirits. There are times, rather than go to God, we go to someone else. We go knocking on a real door, and that door tells us an answer that didn't come from God. Sounded good, feels good. You know, it's like nowadays we can look, Google is our friend. We can look up any answer for Google, but Google's not God. It's G-O-O-G, not G-O-D. Faith, folks, has no time limit. And prayer has no stopping point. This should be one of the best messages you've ever heard, because this is going to release us into another level. I do not understand why people fear prayer or fear hearing messages on prayer. But I want to tell you, I'm at Matthew 7, and this is the seventh reference that Jesus has made to prayer in seven chapters. What is Jesus saying? This is critical. This is important. This is vital. And persevering prayer teaches us. It teaches us how to properly communicate with God. How do we do that? We have natural, relational conversation with our Father who cares. Natural, relational conversation. Did you hear those words? Natural, relational conversation. See, praying teaches us to have patience in waiting on God's promise. God's promises are yea and amen. That's why Romans 4 talks about Abraham and the promises of God. God's promises are yea and amen. But we have got to have patience in waiting for the fulfillment of the promise. The hope that God gives us is a hope in an eternal Father who loves us and knows what is best for us, even when we don't see it as what is best. Hello? Praying teaches us to love God our Father more and more, more and more, more and more. When I pray, I begin to fall in love with God more and more. I've heard so many people say, oh, I wish I knew the will of God. Just pray. Of course, He's going to reveal His will. Step into it. The more I'm in relational, natural relational communication with God, the more I'm going to know my God, my Father. The more you're in, those that are in marriage, the more you talk with each other, the more you know each other. The more you talk with your kids, the more you know them. Nowadays, conversation's strange, but the more we talk, the more we know, the more we relate. If I get to know you, how do I get to know you? I have to have conversation with you. I got to know who you are, what you're about. We got to listen more to each other. But one good thing, even when we don't listen to each other, the God of heaven, He always listens to us. His ear is attentive to our cry. Could you just put that inside your spirit today? His ear is attentive to our cry. So sometimes we're in a point where we just want God, just read my mind. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting and everybody was in the read the mind prayer meeting? Or hear my chant. And pretty soon you look over and you see a few people. Because prayer is communication. And the more we communicate with God, the more we recognize the condition of the prayer, He placed it, so He has a responsibility to fulfill it. He placed it. He says, ask and I'll give to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will open. So as I do those things, God has a responsibility to give back to me what He has promised. Deuteronomy 4 verse 29, God says, But from there, you will search again. I love this. You will search again for the Lord your God. And if you search for Him with all your heart and soul, you will find Him. This is a message for even those who are not yet serving the Lord. If from there, where is He meaning? He's meaning from wherever you are. From whatever state you're in, from whatever position you're in, from whatever trouble you're in, from whatever lack of peace you're in, from whatever non-relationship you're in. If from there, that position that you're in, you will search again. But I sought the Lord before and I didn't feel Him. Search again, ask again, seek again, knock again. He says, and you will find Him. Because why? You put your heart and your soul and your mind into it. It's not happenstance. God, show up because I'm so important. No, it's God. You are so important. God, thank you that you show up and I'm waiting to see it. And I'm looking for the answer, and I'm going to keep believing, because when we pray like that and believe like that, folks, there is more possibility we will thank God for the miracle. What is causing us to lack so many miracles? Thanklessness. What will cause us to see more miracles? Thankfulness. The more I'm thankful to God, the more my miracles are bestowed upon me. Isn't that the truth, folks? God has done everything since He created this world to show us how much He loves us. But we must enter into true conversational relationship with our God. We must enter into true. I don't mean false. And remember in Matthew 6, He said, don't be babbling like pagans. That's why Jesus kept teaching it. True, real. Don't tell me you can't pray. If you can speak, you can pray. Don't tell me you don't know how to pray. He says, I didn't give you a formula so that you have a script. I gave you a model prayer so that you would have an idea. Jesus, the Son of God, has done everything to create relationship with us. The Holy Spirit has done everything to cause us to see how much He wants to indwell us. And if we love and accept God, we will continue to move into not human nature, but step towards divine nature. Say, God, it's all about you. God, I'm looking for your answer. There are things I don't understand in my life, but God, you know why. So I'm going to trust you, and I'm still going to keep believing, and until death, I will keep on believing. Amen? You've heard me say this before, and I'll reiterate it again today. I do not like people who come and pray over you if you're sick, and you're very sick, and they come and pray you to death. Oh, God, help them if it's your will. Oh, and muttering. I usually, when I go to a hospital room, if someone's critically sick, there's only one way I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, God, raise them up and show your glory and your power. There's breath in them. God, you gave breath, so let breath begin to flow out. And then when I'm leaving the room, I usually go by the door because I always have oil, and I anoint the oil, and I say, God, those of faith, block them from coming. Put a doctor or a nurse in so they can't get in. Because there are people who go to a hospital room and kill somebody with their lack of faith. When we go, listen, God knows His will. And He reveals it individually and specifically. He doesn't have to reveal His will for me to you. He reveals it to me. And if it's His will for me to go, He will. I'll be gone up, and I'll be walking the streets of glory, looking down and going, poor you. But when we pray, pray with faith. Pray with consistency. Someone's sick and I prayed. Keep on praying. Seek now. Knock now until the answer comes. Well, I've been praying for a year. Well, the woman with the issue of blood prayed for 36 years. But one day Jesus showed up. The man who was lying on a mat prayed for 30, tried to get in the water. That is a depiction of him believing in prayer. He was waiting 38 years by the mat, on his mat by the water. But in the 38th year, Jesus showed up. I don't know what your time frame is, but don't stop praying before your miracle comes, because God is still in the business. So change your mindset about who God is and how God operates with His family. Do you know what the problem is, folks? Many of us are living in broken families. We're living in families that are not loving, are not kind, not gracious. And so we equate the human with the divine. If I could beg you anything today, do not equate human behavior with divine. God doesn't behave like us. God is sovereign. So though we live in a broken world with a broken concept of love, you may say, nobody in my family loves me, nobody cares for me, nobody checks on me, nobody this. That is human behavior. That is not divine behavior. Separate it and change your mindset. Though nobody on earth loves me, my God loves me. Though nobody shows up for me, my God will show up. Though nobody cares, my God cares. Change your mindset and choose to change it today, so that when you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, everything will be added to you, not because of who you are, but because of who He is. Andrew Murray says in his book, prayer and divine providence are closely related. Since we do not know and cannot control divine providence, we must stay in close relationship with Christ, which is done best through the mode of prayer. How do we stay in close relationship with Christ? Through the mode of prayer. How do we keep our relationship strong? Through the mode of prayer. So asking, seeking, knocking changes everything. Changes everything. Let me close with a Bible story. As I said, over time, I'll share some of the nuggets from what I shared in Colombia at the World Missions Conference. But one of the topics that I hit, because I did 3 points, one of the topics that I hit was relentless prayer is needed in this day. And I use the story of 1 Samuel 1, Hannah. And Hannah, the story of Hannah demonstrates powerful prayer. There are many times we made it a female message, but it's not a female message. It is a prophetic moment. Hannah's story is a prophetic moment where she released the next generation into a godly destiny. Why? Samuel was not just a child. He became a spiritual entity with a God-ordained future from a mother who lived in pain most of her life. But what did she do as she lived in pain? Year after year after year after year with her persecutor on her back, she prayed. Remember Jesus said in Matthew, pray for those who persecute you. Obviously, Hannah learned how to pray for Penina because the more she persecuted her, the harder she prayed. Folks, that is the principle to realign today. And change came to an ungodly society because of a woman who lived in pain but strengthened in prayer. Our prayers must change nations and cultures, because here's what happened. They were in a season when Eli, he watched his sons live in debauchery in the house of God. No honor for the house of God. No care, no fear of the things of God. All they did in that time was live for themselves, live for their own agenda. I want, I will, I'll have, I can. Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were very much it's all about me. And they lived in that context until they began to take even the sacred things of God for themselves. And God had to see change. But remember, prayer is a conditional. When you want to see change, something has to happen in the natural while the supernatural will break it open. So Hannah made herself available to God in the midst of her pain with a Penina who tortured her and taunted her year after year after year after year after year. And she would go to the temple, and now she's past asking, and she's actually pressed past seeking. She's in the temple this day knocking on heaven's door. And as she knocked on heaven's door, even the priests could not recognize that she was past the point of just saying, oh God, I need this. And she was past the point of saying, God, I need this. She had gotten to the point of, God, I need this miracle. And when she pressed past and into knocking, heaven answered, even when a priest could not see the answer. Persevere means we learn the key to good praying. Good praying is when you move beyond the pain, you move beyond the disappointment, you move beyond the doubt, you move beyond your own mental capacity, and you step into a faith journey that says, God, I'm going to keep on asking until an answer comes. If it's nay, you have to release a peace in my heart that it's done. And if it's yes, then you've got to send the answer. When God sent her the son Samuel, she gave him back to the temple, and God did not even wait for Samuel to grow up to be a big boy. From the very young age, God said, I need a movement in this hour, and I found somebody who's gonna knock until everything changes in society. Folks, learn the key to good praying. It's proper communication because of relationship with the Lord our God. To persevere means we ask. That's our normal prayer. We seek. That's when we've got to press a lot harder, and we knock. And the Bible says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. For everyone, did it say some? Talk to me. Does it say some people? So read that with me online. Would you read that with me? It's on your screen. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. We need doors open for a generation to come back to God. And if everything was easy, people would not believe in God. They would just give Santa Claus and coincidence and Google and everybody the glory. But when we go through hard, you know what has made us strong? You ever wonder why some of us can be like we are? Have you ever wondered why some of us are as we are? You ever wonder why I love prayer so much? When you've gone through the school of hard knocks and you have your doctorate in it, nobody can touch it. It's not the school of easy street that you get your doctorate. It's in the school of hard knocks. When you've been beaten, battered, be bruised, and stepped and trampled and run over, oh, but you learn to keep on praying. When everything feels like it's not going right, but you learn to day by day at your kitchen sink, in your bathroom, in your bedroom, in your study, in your car, in your drive, on the highway, down the street, that's when you learn that God's gonna answer somehow. That's when you learn God's gonna answer somehow. Folks, it's not the formality of prayer. It is the continuation of prayers, the continuum, the continuous. Do you know what I love? I love praying. I love praying morning, noon, and night. I love praying at all times. I love praying about everything. I love stopping and praying. I love walking and praying. I love being in my house and praying. I love when something comes to my mind and I just pray about it. I love when I feel the beating of something and I take it back to God in prayer. And then I have to pray in the midst of my prayer. Oh, God, help them and don't judge them, because, God, if you were to give them what they deserve, oh, God, they couldn't handle it. So, Father, let's just ask you now, would you just bless them instead? Oh, glory to Basi Kirianda. I don't believe in humans being my help. My help. That's why I'll ask till the help comes. That's why I'll seek, and that's why I'll knock. Thank you, Father, Lord. Bless every person online and in-house. Even those that are listening during the week, we speak a blessing to you. We speak a miracle in your life. Father, release miracles unprecedented. God, generations must see miracles today. May we not be afraid or stubborn or proud to declare what God has done for us so that others will receive their miracle. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.